We allowed the players to get some extra needed rest today. We'll bring them in tomorrow, certainly, and then we'll have a really what we call a day one and day two, where we'll extend it a little bit to get our third down in and the things we need to get done with our football team from a practice standpoint. Get ready for Detroit. That's where our focus is tonight. And today, I'll leave it open to questions.
Mark, you've talked week after week about the process and believing in the process. And when it doesn't work on Sunday, have you had to tweak it at all, change it at all, or is that getting away from what you believe in?
No, I think that there's little things we've done. I'm not without being specific. During the course of the week to keep up our players' interest and keep them focused and do those types of things. So we do that. I think the most important part of the process is to show them the whys and to make sure they understand the whys. We haven't seen the improvement necessary to win football games over the last 3 weeks, but there it's very clear in our illustration of why we didn't convert on third down, or why didn't we complete this pass, or why didn't we stop them on third down, whatever it might be. As I looked at the tape, because there's a little buzz about that, effort-wise, I was very pleased with the effort, consistent effort of our team throughout the game in all three phases. That doesn't mean we played well enough to win, because we didn't. That doesn't mean we executed well enough to win. We played hard enough for four quarters, but we didn't play well enough. And so that's how I analyze those situations. How are they practicing? Their demeanor in meetings, their energy on the practice field, and their effort during the games. And I we're closely looking at that. And the grade-wise, the players on overall graded out very well effort-wise. But I don't want that to be mistaken for execution of assignments. And doing the things necessary to win the game, because we certainly didn't do that.
As a point of reference, in all your time in the NFL as a coordinator, have you seen guys in the past where you could say they stopped giving the effort?
I think there's, looking back, I'm sure in not in recent memory, certainly, but in there are certainly times where you watch the tape and you say he's not playing with full effort, with an excellent effort level. I cannot say that about the guys on Monday night.
Mark, Cutler took a lot of criticism after that game. National guys, Ray Lewis, Steve Young, who you know. We're talking about his body language and his leadership. Is that a problem right now with Jay? I mean, is his body language just not where it needs to be?
Well, I think that, our whole football team right now isn't where it needs to be. Nobody's happy about it. Jay's not happy about it. I can just leave it at that. It's easy. The quarterback's always going to be the guy to be looked at, no doubt about it. We all can do better. To talk about one without talking about the group, it is a team sport, is very difficult to do. So we got to get better. We got to be mindful of that as we work through the day and work through these games.
And just one more comment that came out of that, John Gruden, you also obviously know very well. He said in the telecast that if it was him, he'd go to Boston. He's seen enough to Jay. I know you got 2 games left. You've been very firm with your commitment to Jay.
John certainly, has a right to his opinion. And each and every week we go through evaluations all the way around, as I said, John's got a right to his opinion.
You said that it wouldn't be fair to single Jay out no one else on the team, but he's kind of the focal point of the team, and he is seen as the leader. If he appears to be disinterested or slumping shoulders, then that's a big reflection on the rest of the team. So how do you keep him in the game and pumped up throughout the week so that his demeanor reflects what you need it to be?
Certainly he has an obligation to do that, and everybody's going to see him differently, certainly. We all have to work on that, and you know, we're all subject to that type of criticism. It's just that when you're 5-9, that's where this thing is. You know, part of this discussion is all about the way we played on Monday night, and I understand that. And you know, we didn't lose on Monday night because of someone's demeanor. We lost because our team lost, and we didn't coach as well as we can coach, and they played better than us. Those are the most important reasons, and certainly we want to focus in on the quarterback. But the reasons why we lost go far beyond. Interpretation about how somebody looks when they're 5-9. None of us are happy about that.
Mark, at halftime, you mentioned any changes would be made on a situational basis as far as like a change of quarterback or something like that in the game. In the first half, where you've been shut out and only 92 yards, at what point would you consider making a change?
I think it's always on an individual basis on you know, how we go about doing things. And we always we talk about those things at halftime, not just at all positions. You know, what can we do better? And we make decisions at the time that are in the best interest of the team, and that's the way we go about it.
Mark, mental errors, mistakes, missed assignments. It's been a few weeks now. It's been a growing problem. Monday night was bad. How do you approach as a coach or a teacher attacking that issue? I mean, I know you're making the corrections on the day after, you're watching the film, and yet when the mental errors continue to occur, how do you approach that?
You know, you made a statement that there were a lot of mental errors. I think that I don't know what a lot is. Number one, I think that you know, I look at the mistakes we made. A lot of them are more physical than mental, right? Now, in terms of not executing fundamentals, and that takes not having the physical ability to do it isn't the issue. It's not executing the fundamentals and techniques. Certainly, we had some mental errors in the game. You do each and every week, and really, the key to the game is, when you make them, is to have the ability to overcome them, because teams make mental mistakes and players make mental mistakes throughout the game. If you have too many, you're not going to lose, you're not going to win, no matter how, you know, how hard you're trying or how hard you're working, how many plays you make. But you know, we're going to make mistakes. Everybody does. We recognize that. We work hard in our preparation, as we always have here and the guys have here. But it's one thing to make a mental error; it's another thing to overcome them. And again, it's not just one guy making a lot of mental errors, and that's the real issue we have. Is we got one guy making a mental error on one play, and two plays later another, we're going to be third down and 16 again, you know. And so that's what we have not, and I've clearly stated that we have not been able to avoid that this year for whatever reasons, because it's hard to put a handle on it when it's different guys in different plays, and when you see the guys in the commitment that they make to doing their work.
Mark, there's an accumulating amount of speculation about your job status. Is that starting to seep in at all into your psyche? And do you feel at all in the last couple of games that you have to kind of solidify your job status here?
Really, for me to look at anything that's going on outside the building wouldn't be fair to this organization and the way I've been treated here by management and by the people here. My focus, Mark, is completely inclusive on preparing this team the best I can, as I have each and every week. And certainly I understand that I've only prepared them to be 5-9. I'm not happy about that. We're not happy about that, or certainly our fans are not happy about that. But, you know, I go back in to work and stay as present as I can and work on the things that I need to work on. And I understand when you're 5-9, those kind of things are going to go on outside this building. You understand that I didn't sign up to be 5-9. We didn't to come to work each day and work all year to be 5-9, but that's the present state of affairs. And the only way to approach that is by doing what's most important, and that is, you know, trying to help your coaches and your players get ready.
Whether it matters or not, are you aware of what's going on outside the building?
I think you're always aware to a point. You know, we're aware that there's noise out there. I wouldn't have to know what's going on out there. I've been around, you know, the NFL long enough to know that when you're 5-9, there's going to be a lot going on outside the building. The only thing I can control is, and the right things are to control and to focus on, are the team, and that's what I've done.
You've talked about how you have had frequent conversations, if not daily, with management, upper management, mm-hmm. those on a regular basis mm-hmm. here at Callis Hall. Can you characterize what your conversations have been like with George McCaskey recently?
I would rather leave all that, as something that we talk about in the building. And as I said, I think that, we see each other, we converse with each other, we have cordial conversations with each other, we have business conversations as well. That's the extent of it at this point.
Mark, do you still feel you have unqualified support in the building?
I walk through the building, and I feel very supported here, John.
Mark, I don't know if you heard, but it was a fairly well-reported national story. You may not have gotten mm-hmm. but Sean Payton last week called in as many as 10 of his key players for individual sit-downs mm-hmm. to discuss what was going
right.
on. Is that a technique that you use, would consider, have used?
Number one is, I'll answer the question first. Certainly, does it matter to us that it gets out in, in national coverage? The things that go on here,
I'm just talking about the coaching and teaching.
We're always having sit-downs with our players. We have sit-downs with our players when things are going well, which we haven't done a lot of that. But certainly, I had players in my three or four players in my office today, talking to them about a various number of things, and I was on the phone with a couple as well, quite frankly. So yes, those things do go on. There's certainly we're not sitting up in our office, on an island. Part of the process during these times is to connect with your players and to stay connected with them, and that's what we're doing.
I think though, when things become public, as much as we know that your organization does not prefer things to go that way, at least the public sees that there's an accountability happening, and it would appear that there, that's the perception, that there's been a void of accountability with players not being reprimanded or not being benched when they make mistakes.
Mm-hmm. There's accountability in the building, whether it's a breach of a collective bargaining agreement or something that deserves to be addressed. Everything is addressed in this building.
Mark, what is there to get out of the finals of games that you would consider most real? Teams that are 5-9 can win their finals of games, and a lot of times that turns into fool's gold, because there's not the pressure of being getting in the playoffs, that kind of thing. What are you looking for? What do you consider?
That's a loaded question, Mark. There's a lot of what I can define it only as this. The players are going to work to prepare to get ready for Detroit, and we're going to go out and try to win a game. And how that's perceived is another story. We're not going to worry about fool's gold or anything like that. We're going to go out to win try to win a game against a very good football team, and that's the extent of it. It doesn't go any farther than that. And when that game is done, we'll get prepared for Minnesota and prepare to do the same. That's the only, from a team standpoint, from a player standpoint, that's where we are.
Mark, I remember after the Green Bay game, you used the word confounded about why the practices weren't translating to the games. And players said last week was another good week of practice. Is there still some confusion on why that's not?
We haven't been able to answer that question. We have to be honest with that. And I'm being honest with you, Kevin, we haven't seen that. We haven't been able to unlock that. And that's the reason we're 5-9.
We have time for a couple more.
Mark, in your book, some of your former quarterbacks had praised the way you were able to get the best out of them to make adjustments within their own skill set as well. Do you feel that you've been able to have that same effect on Jay?
Well, that's evident. I haven't up to this point. Am I working at it? Yes. But we've seen moments. But we haven't done it on a consistent basis, and that's clear. I can't hide from that. We haven't been able to do the things that we want to get done. We're working towards that, but the answer to that is obvious, and I'm trying to give you the most truthful answer, and that is we've seen moments of it, but we certainly haven't. It's not where we need to go. It's not where we need to be, but it's not all about Jay. It's about our entire offense, working together to get it done.